A Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're opening up Clint Smith's really powerful work, How the Word Has Passed, A Reckoning with the History of Slavery Across America.
Yeah, it's quite something. And this, while it's definitely more than just a history book, it feels like a journey. Yeah. Our goal today is to really get into Smith's main argument, which is essentially that the story of American slavery, it isn't fixed. It's constantly being, you know, rewritten, argued over, and sometimes just, well, deliberately ignored or erased in our public spaces, the places we all see.
And that really matters right now, doesn't it? Because Smith connects this directly to today.
Mm-hmm.
He argues that America has this sort of collective amnesia, almost, about its history with slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And that failure, that inability to really face it head on, is, in his view, a root cause of so much of the racial injustice and the divisions we're still grappling with. The past isn't even past, as Faulkner said. It's right here.
Exactly. And Clint Smith is uniquely positioned to guide us through this. He brings this really potent mix of backgrounds to the table. He's a staff writer at The Atlantic, and his work there on race and justice is just incredibly insightful.
Yeah, always very nuanced. But there's more to it, right? He has this academic background, too.
That's right. A PhD in education from Harvard. And importantly, his focus wasn't just general history. It was specifically on how societies decide to teach their histories. Or sometimes how they decide not to teach them, how they conceal parts of it.
So he's looking at how history is actually constructed, presented.
Precisely. He studies how places themselves become kinds of textbooks. He actually calls it the pedagogy of place.
Pedagogy of place.
Okay. It's maybe a formal term, but the idea is simple.
Mm-hmm.
Where we choose to put up monuments, what stories we tell in museums or at historical sites, that actively shapes what we remember as a society.
And what gives the book such impact, I think, is his voice. Smith is also an acclaimed poet. You feel that in the writing.
Absolutely. That poetic sensibility brings this emotional depth, this lyrical quality that's essential when you're dealing with something as heavy, as traumatic as slavery. He doesn't just give you facts. He makes you feel the human weight of it all.
And it's personal for him, too, isn't it? He's not just an observer.
Not at all. He's a black man who grew up in New Orleans, a city just saturated with Confederate symbols and, you know, the inescapable legacy of the plantation economy. It's literally built into the streets.
Right.
So for him, this isn't some detached academic project. It feels much more like a personal quest to understand the history he inherited.
That perspective really shapes the book's whole approach. Smith starts from this idea that history isn't some dusty old thing on a shelf. It's alive. It's a narrative that's constantly being fought over, constructed, right now.
Mm-hmm. And the big question driving the book is sort of, how can a country truly face its original sin, as some call it, when there are so many active efforts to distort or downplay that very history?
So how does he tackle that question?
He takes us with him. It's structured as a first-person travelogue. He journeys to 8 different locations, mainly in the U.S., but also one abroad. And each place acts like a case study in how we remember or choose to remember.
And these places are often starkly different in how they tell the story.
Absolutely. That contrast is key. You have Monticello, Thomas Jefferson's estate, which just embodies that fundamental American paradox, you know, liberty talked about, built on the backs of enslaved people.
Yeah.
But then he goes somewhere like the Whitney Plantation, which is entirely different. Its whole purpose is to tell the story only from the perspective of the enslaved. It's about centering their lives.
And then there's Angola Prison.
Right. Angola Prison in Louisiana, which draws this, frankly, chilling line connecting the economics of the plantation past directly to the realities of the present day. It's really powerful stuff.
Okay. Let's maybe dig into some of these places because, like you said, the differences really show what Smith means about history being contested ground.
Yeah.
Let's start with Monticello in Virginia.
Mm.
We all learn about Jefferson, the founding father, the genius.
Right, the Declaration of Independence, all of that. But Smith forces us, and the site itself is starting to force visitors, to confront the fact that this same man enslaved over 600 human beings during his lifetime.
It's a difficult thing to reconcile.
It is.
Yeah.
And Smith points out that the institution running Monticello is kind of in the midst of this slow, awkward evolution. There's the traditional tour focusing on Jefferson the architect, the philosopher.
Mm.
And then there's this newer slavery at Monticello tour, which tries to grapple with the other side. It shows an institution and maybe America itself slowly.
Yeah, the sources mentioned the discomfort, you know, Visitors having to hold both ideas at once, the celebrated founder and the enslaver, it's not easy.
No, it challenges that neat, clean narrative we often prefer. So if Monticello shows America kind of wrestling with its contradictions,
then the Whitney Plantation in Louisiana is something else entirely.
Exactly. Smith presents it as a model for what he calls an honest reckoning. There's no attempt to soften the blow at the Whitney. It refuses to sanitize the history.
And he describes it quite vividly, doesn't he? The memorials, the focus.
Absolutely. He talks about the Wall of Honor engraved with the names of the enslaved people held there, the first names, often all that's known. And these life-size ceramic sculptures of enslaved children, it's designed to be harrowing.
Wow.
The entire point of the Whitney is to center the humanity of those who suffered, to make visitors confront the sheer brutality of the system, not admire the architecture of the big house.
So a complete shift in focus from the enslaver to the enslaved.
A complete shift. But then the journey takes maybe its most disturbing turn when he gets to Angola Prison, the Louisiana State Penitentiary.
And the connection there is?
The connection is stark. This massive maximum security prison, it sits entirely on the land of a former 18,000-acre plantation, the same land.
That's chilling.
It is. And this is where Smith argues the past isn't just memory, it's physically, tangibly present. He describes seeing these overwhelmingly black incarcerated men working in fields.
Working the land.
Working the same land, often doing agricultural labor, under armed guards, sometimes on horseback. The visual parallel to slavery is just unavoidable. It's right there.
So Angola becomes this living example of how the legacy continues.
Yeah.
Not just memory, but systems.
Precisely. It demonstrates for Smith that the plantation system didn't just vanish. It morphed. It found new forms, new names linking chattel slavery directly to today's mass incarceration complex.
And does the prison acknowledge this link in its own like museum or history?
That's the crucial part? No. Smith points out that the prison's own museum completely sidesteps this connection. It tends to focus on, you know, celebrating past wardens, things like that.
Wow.
It's a perfect, if disturbing, example of how institutions can actively shape history, curate the narrative, to protect their own image and power structures.
Mm-hmm.
A deliberate silence.
So Angola shows the physical continuity. Then he goes somewhere like Blandford Cemetery in Virginia, and that's more about the fight over the story itself.
Exactly. Blandford is where he really confronts the Lost Cause mythology head on.
Can you remind us what the Lost Cause is?
Sure. It's basically this revisionist history that emerged after the Civil War. It paints the Confederacy as this, you know, noble, heroic, doomed cause fighting for states' rights and a certain way of life.
And conveniently leaves out or minimizes slavery.
Completely. Or portrays it as somehow benign. Smith observes this narrative being actively kept alive today at events like Confederate Memorial Day, often sponsored by groups like the Sons of Confederate Veterans.
So it makes it incredibly clear that history isn't just something we learn. It's something people are actively fighting over, constructing narratives about right now. Memory as a battlefield.
That's a great way to put it. It's an ongoing battle over truth. And Smith doesn't let the North off the hook either. He challenges that common idea that slavery was purely a Southern problem.
Right. He visits New York City.
Yeah. And details things many people don't know or maybe prefer not to know. Like the fact that there was a major slave market literally on Wall Street.
On Wall Street. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And he discusses the discovery, relatively recently, of the African burial ground in Lower Manhattan, which forced the city to confront its deep complicity in the slave economy. It's a powerful chapter on historical erasure, on forgetting.
And then balancing that necessary look at horror and complicity, he also highlights resilience, right?
Yeah.
With Juneteenth in Texas.
Yes, Galveston Island. He explores the story of June 19th, 1865, Juneteenth, when enslaved people in Texas finally received the news they were free, long after the Emancipation Proclamation.
A delayed freedom.
A delayed freedom, but a profound moment. He frames Juneteenth not just as a historical date, but as this vital celebration of Black freedom, resilience, and crucially, joy, often existing in direct contrast or even opposition to the dominant national narrative.
And finally, he broadens the lens even further.
He does. To really place American slavery in its global context, he travels to Gorée Island off the coast of Senegal in West Africa.
The site of the Door of No Return.
That infamous symbol. It connects the specific American story to the wider global trauma of the transatlantic slave trade, the Middle Passage. It roots the American experience in that larger history of forced migration and unimaginable suffering.
And then he ends, quite movingly, by turning back to his own family.
Yes. The epilogue is very personal. He interviews his own grandparents, and he encounters what he calls the familiar silence, this reluctance, perhaps born of pain or trauma, in older generations to speak openly about the hardest parts of the past.
So he connects the huge public narratives he's been exploring, the monuments, the plantations, right back to the intimate, private histories held within families. It links the macro and the micro.
Beautifully put. Yeah.
Okay, so after taking us on this incredible, often difficult journey, what are the main takeaways? What does Smith want us, the readers, to understand? There seem to be a few core themes.
Definitely. I think three stand out. First, let's circle back to that idea of the pedagogy of place.
Right, places as teacher.
Exactly. The idea that physical locations, monuments, plantations, cemeteries, even just street names, they aren't neutral. They actively teach us a version of history. They're like texts we read every day, often without realizing it.
So the reflection for us, for you listening, is maybe to become a more critical reader of your own surroundings.
Precisely. Ask yourself, what story is that big statue in the town square actually telling? Who does it honor? And crucially, whose story is it leaving out? What is it not saying?
Okay, that's one. What's the second big theme?
The second is what Smith calls the proximity of the past. He hammers home this point that slavery isn't some distant closed chapter in a history book.
It's not abstract.
Not at all. Its legacy is immediate, powerful, and very much present. You look at issues today, the racial wealth gap, health disparities, the structure of neighborhoods, mass incarceration. Smith argues you just cannot understand these things fully without tracing their roots directly back to slavery and its aftermath, like Jim Crow.
So understanding that link is key to understanding today's world.
Absolutely essential.
And the third theme?
The third is about the narrative of silence, erasure, and omission. This builds on the first point. Smith shows us, site after site, that what isn't said at a historical place is often just as important, maybe more important than what is said.
Because the silence is deliberate?
Often, yes. He argues these omissions, these erasures, are frequently intentional choices. They're designed to protect a cleaner, more comfortable, sanitized version of history, usually one that protects existing power structures or national myths. These silences aren't just gaps, they're a form of narrative control. A lie told by omission.
Those are really powerful frameworks for thinking about history. And Smith's writing itself makes these ideas stick, doesn't it? That poetic sensibility you mentioned.
Oh, definitely. The book is full of lines that just resonate. We should probably touch on a few key ideas or, you know, quote-like statements that really capture his argument.
Good idea. What's one that stands out?
Well, one of the most direct statements of his core thesis is this. The history of slavery is the history of the United States. It was not peripheral to our founding. It was central to it.
Okay, so that cuts right through any attempt to sideline slavery, to treat it as just a footnote or a regional issue.
Exactly. He's saying if it was central to how the nation was built, economically and politically, then it must be central to how we understand the nation now. No dodging it.
And thinking about Angola, that physical connection.
Right. He captures that so powerfully when he writes something like, "This is the proximity of the past." A history that has been carved into the earth.
Carved into the earth. That really lands. It makes the history feel physical, tangible.
It does. It emphasizes that the trauma isn't just an abstract idea. It's literally in the landscape, in the soil, in the institutions built on that soil. You can touch it in a way.
And there was another one about knowing versus feeling.
Yes. That's crucial to his whole approach. He says, it is one thing to know something intellectually, and it is another thing to feel it in your bones.
What was the implication there?
It's really a call for a different kind of engagement with history, not just reading facts, but experiencing places, bearing witness. He believes that standing somewhere like the Whitney Plantation or walking the grounds of Angola can transform intellectual knowledge into something deeper, into empathy, into a felt understanding that might actually motivate change.
So it's about moving beyond just knowing about history to actually feeling its weight. Okay, so how can we, you know, apply these insights in our own lives? The book feels like it gives you tools.
It absolutely does. I think the most immediate application is to become a more critical tourist and citizen.
How so?
Well, next time you visit any historical site, could be a grand monument, could be a small local museum, change the questions you ask. Don't just absorb what's presented. Ask. Whose story isn't being told here? Why was this particular story chosen for commemoration? Who paid for this monument or exhibit? What's its purpose?
So shifting from being a passive receiver to an active investigator of the narrative being presented.
Exactly. And tied to that is the idea to re-examine your own education.
Meaning, question what we learned in school.
Yeah. Be honest with yourself. Was the history you were taught complete? Did it perhaps minimize the role of slavery or indigenous removal or other difficult truths? Use Smith's approach as a lens to seek out fuller histories, more diverse perspectives that challenge those older, often incomplete textbook narratives.
Don't just assume the official story was the whole story.
Never assume that. And finally, the book really equips you to engage in more informed conversations.
About difficult topics, like race and inequality.
Right. These are sensitive conversations, and often they founder because people lack the deeper historical context. Smith provides that context. By understanding how current issues, like, say, disparities in wealth or the justice system, are rooted in historical systems like slavery and Jim Crow,
you can discuss them with more nuance.
More nuance, more accuracy, and hopefully more empathy. You can trace the lines from the past to the present more clearly.
That makes sense. Thinking back on the whole journey Smith takes us on, what was the most maybe surprising or impactful thing for you?
For me, honestly, it was that visual Smith paints at Angola. That direct, undeniable line between the plantation fields of the past and the prison fields of the present on the exact same land. It's just stark. It makes the idea that slavery ended feel disturbingly incomplete. The economic and social logic found a new form.
Yeah, that image is hard to shake. For me, I think it was the exploration of Monticello's ongoing struggle. It wasn't presented as good or bad, but as this complex, evolving institution trying, maybe imperfectly, maybe too slowly, to tell a fuller truth. It showed how difficult this reckoning actually is, even for people trying to do it.
Well, that's a great point. It highlights the messiness of it all.
So the final takeaway then, the lasting insight.
I think the most crucial insight Smith leaves us with is that history is not settled. It's not over. It's an active, ongoing struggle over narrative happening right now in the present.
And the way we choose to remember.
The way we choose to remember, the stories we elevate, the silences we permit that fundamentally shapes our society today, and what kind of future we can build. Smith makes a powerful case that an honest, unflinching confrontation with the past isn't just about historical accuracy.
It's about the present and future.
It's the essential groundwork, the absolute prerequisite for creating a more just and equitable society going forward. We can't fix what we refuse to truly see.
A powerful call to look closely at the stories embedded in the American landscape and within ourselves.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.